This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSiN Action Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
With the Masters wrapping up this weekend at Augusta National, time to look ahead to the May PGA Championship. Dustin Johnson, the favorite at plus 900. Justin Thomas is at plus 1,000. Bryson DeChambeau and John Rahm both at plus 1,200. Brooks Koepka plus 1,400. Rory McIlroy plus 1,600. Jordan Spieth plus 1,800. Along with Xander Schauffele also at plus 1,800. Colin Morikawa, the defending PGA champion, is at plus 2,200. Hideki Matsuyama and Patrick Cantlay are both at plus 2,500. Looking ahead to June's U.S. Open, Dustin Johnson once again the favorite at plus 900, John Rahm at plus 1,100, Bryson DeChambeau and Justin Thomas both at plus 1,200 to win the Open, Brooks Koepka plus 1,400, and Jordan Spieth plus 1,600, with Rory McIlroy also at 1,600. NHL futures, odds to win the Stanley Cup, the Colorado Avalanche on top plus 450, Tampa Bay plus 700, Toronto Maple Leafs at plus 750, the Vegas Golden Knights at plus 800, the New York Islanders at plus 1,000. Carolina Hurricanes plus 1,200. Washington Capitals at plus 1,400. Boston Bruins at plus 1,600. Along with Florida and Pittsburgh, both of those teams also at plus 1,600. You can get the Minnesota Wild at plus 2,000. The NFL draft less than 3 weeks away. Who will be the first defensive player picked in the draft? Patrick Surtain at minus 130. While Micah Parsons is at plus 200. J.C. Horn plus 375. Who will be the second overall pick behind Trevor Lawrence? Zach Wilson minus 2,000. Justin Fields plus 850. Trey Lance at plus 1,600. Penny Sewell plus 2,200. Who will be the first offensive lineman picked in the draft? Penny Sewell, the leader, at minus 400. Rashawn Slater at plus 250. Who will be the first pick in the draft? Trevor Lawrence, easily the favorite, at minus 10,000. Zach Wilson plus 1,200. Justin Fields plus 2,000. Who will be the first running back to be taken in the draft? Najee Harris minus 170, Travis Etienne plus 165, Javonte Williams plus 500. What about the first wide receiver, Jamar Chase, who took a year off due to COVID, minus 500, Devontae Smith, the Heisman Trophy winner, plus 500, Jaylen Waddle at 550. Even with the 17-game season, Kansas City still the favorite to win the Super Bowl at plus 550, Tampa Bay Buccaneers plus 600 to repeat as champs, Green Bay plus 1200, LA Rams also plus 1,200. Buffalo Bills and the San Francisco 49ers both at plus 1,400. Baltimore and Cleveland both at plus 1,800. The Colts with new quarterback Carson Wentz at plus 2,000. Kansas City favored to win the AFC championship at plus 275. Tampa Bay the favorites to win the NFC title at plus 325. With the Major League Baseball season up and running, the odds to win the 2021 World Series still belong to the Los Angeles Dodgers on top at plus 325, while the Yankees are plus 650. San Diego plus 750, while the Chicago White Sox are at plus 1200. The Atlanta Braves, Houston Astros, and the New York Mets all in at plus 1400. Minnesota at plus 1800. St. Louis at 2200. The LA Angels and the Toronto Blue Jays both at 2500. Looking at the American League, odds to win the Yankees on top at plus 275, White Sox plus 450, Astros plus 650, Twins at plus 800, Toronto plus 900, and the Angels plus 1400, along with the Tampa Bay Rays, the defending AL champions, also at 1400. The Dodgers favored to win the NL plus 175, San Diego plus 450, the Mets at plus 700, Braves at plus 750, St. Louis plus 1200, Phillies plus 1600, and the Reds plus 1800.
Get the latest VSiN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, cashing tickets is what it's all about.
Did you miss a VSiN show? We have multiple daily and weekly podcasts to keep you up to date on all the latest sports betting action. VSiN Best Bets bring you the highlights from our daily lineup of shows, including Follow the Money and A Numbers Game. Market Insights with Josh Applebaum gets you ready with the latest lines in action. Beating the Book with Gail Alexander provides the insider view on analytics-based betting strategy from professional bettors, handicappers, and sportsbook operators. Visit VSiN.com/podcast today to find all of our podcast options.
Every day brings another opportunity to improve your sports betting knowledge, and the VSiN experts are working around the clock to give you the betting edge. Subscribe today to gain access to the full betting experience of our team of professional bettors, expert guests, and sportsbook insiders. Get the data and analysis you need to improve your sports betting IQ. Start your free trial today at vsin.com/subscribe and take your sports betting game to the next level.
This is Betting Across America from VSiN, the sports betting network. It is moving day at the Masters, but which direction are your wagers moving? We're going to find out here from Las Vegas at the South Point. I'm Adam Candy. In Denver, Colorado, I am joined by James Salinas as we work through not only the biggest tournament on the golf schedule for the year, but a full slate of Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL. It is that time of year where we can only just keep up, James, with everything that's going on.
Yeah, well, welcome to Saturday in April. Welcome to springtime, and I love it. It's great weather as far as being able to get outdoors. I think that's the biggest thing. Everybody now starting to feel like we can come out of our, depending on where you live, and especially here in Colorado where it's been really cold, that we had a really brutal winter. It's nice to get out here and enjoy some of the sunshine, and for me, I can take my viewing outside outdoors and watch all these great sporting events that we have a lot of opportunities to make some money on.
The check from the Greater Denver Chamber of Commerce is in the mail, James, saying that you can get out and enjoy the outdoors with all these sports. Well, we're hoping that the weather which has been very good in Augusta, will hold up for us, because there is a little bit of a threat of some weather later today. Leaders have not teed off, but we do have about half the field that is in action thus far at Augusta. Nothing to report in terms of the top of the leaderboard, where Justin Rose continues to be the leader after two rounds at 7 under. He has a lot more company than he did after round one, though. Will Zalatoris is sitting there at 6 under, as well as Brian Harman. And then you start to see some of the bigger names as you get down a little farther on the board. Mark Leishman and Jordan Spieth, both two shots off at 5 under. Wiesberger, Finau, Justin Thomas, Siwoo Kim, Champ, Matsuyama, all at 4. And then Xander Schauffele at 3 under. That is really the pack that is closest to chasing Justin Rose. James, let's start with whatever it is that you had going prior to the tournament and anything that you have seen during the tournament that's led you to place anything in terms of an in-round wager.
Well, and so I only have one play. Golf is, I have a pretty wide lane when it comes to sports betting, Adam, but golf is really not in there. It's maybe if we had some full contact golf, I might be able to give some better insight into that type of sport. But really, for me, golf has been something that I sit on the outside looking in. I follow so many of our, we have so many smart guys that have such a great acumen for being able to handicap golf, that I'm following guys like Wes Reynolds, Brady Cannon. We had Matt Eumanns, talk to him yesterday on Betting Across America, and really talking to them to find out where they're going, not only for, I think we talk about the Masters as the Super Bowl of golf, and what tends to happen. I want to ask you this question here too, Adam. So for me, I only put one play in. It was yesterday, and don't ask me why. Maybe because nobody was really talking about it, so I took Hideki Matsuyama. I think I have him at 14-1 to win the tournament. That was just the play I made. It was a ham and egger play, really. Not a lot of bread on that cat to play in this tournament. But ultimately, I know that a lot of players have. And I think here's the thing, Adam, and that's what I asked Matt yesterday. And I want to ask you the same question. Because lines are posted, in this case, we know that the Masters played out back in November. So not your typical 12-month cycle that we're used to, where numbers are posted for quite a long time. How involved do you get? Because numbers have been posted for so many months on this tournament, as far as futures go, and then the fact that with four rounds, so many opportunities, once it starts, there's opportunities for match play, players top 10, top 20. 20 finishes, who won't make the cut, betting against human achievement, those types of things, as well as all the in-game wagering that is available on a sport like golf with 4 rounds and 4 days of action. How involved and how much do you really invest into the Super Bowl of golf when we're talking about the Masters? Or do you have kind of a price point where you know you can get a little for someone like me who does it, who's not great when it comes to bankroll management, and if I like something, I'm willing to jump on it and fire pretty heavily. I'm not one to be too conservative. So I'm asking the question to you, Adam. When we're talking about the Masters and the Super Bowl of golf, do you have a limit to where your kind of price point is, all right, I've already invested quite a bit into this tournament going into day 3 or even going into day 4 tomorrow? Do you kind of limit yourself just based on the amount of volume that you already have invested?
Part of it here in Nevada, James, is understanding that we do not have as many markets available as the rest of the country. Here for the Masters, you'll see quite a bit more posted, but you talk about some of the live betting options that you have elsewhere that we don't necessarily have. So you do kind of have to have a point at which you feel like, okay, before the day, that you have what you want because you don't have a lot of chances to get out live. Now, when it comes to how do you kind of spread things out, it doesn't change a lot for me this week as it would for any week, because you're going to have, if you're taking a look at this and you really want to bet a golf tournament, you're going to probably have a certain amount on outrights. You're going to have a certain amount invested in top 10s, top 20s. You're going to have a certain amount invested in matchups. You know, you're obviously going to lean a little bit away from the outrights just because you're throwing darts to a certain point, right? You have your handful of guys that you want to wager on. And then as the tournament goes on, you're kind of looking at where your pre-tournament value was and how the numbers have adjusted. And then you start seeing not only how the players are performing, but you see how the course is performing, and you kind of adjust based on, you know, looking at how certain players play under certain conditions as well. I will reference our producer over on Primetime Action, Kelly Bidlin, who talked a lot about the fact that leading up to the tournament, he saw plenty of reports that the greens were going to be very firm and fast. And so he adjusted his golf model fairly heavily for seeing who performed well under those conditions. And when he adjusted his model, guess who came out on top? Justin Rose. So that's part of the reason that Kelly Bidlin right now is sitting on Justin Rose, Will Zalatoris, and Siwoo Kim. And he has it pretty well surrounded. And the shortest of those numbers is 125-1. The longest is 200-1. So that certainly, you know, portends well for someone who's paying attention to the conditions as they go along. One thing that jumped out to me was all of the discussion pre-tournament of the fact that Augusta National's powers that be were unhappy with the fact that the scores had been as low as they had been over the past couple of years. They went ahead in round one in particular and took it out on the golfers. 74.5 scoring average in round one is something that you're more used to seeing in a U.S. Open than you're used to seeing in the Masters. And then you see yesterday a lot more red numbers. It comes down to 72 and change. And you start to think maybe they got the message across in round one. You start to look at golfers who do have the ability to score on par fours, guys who might take some shots on par fives, and say, are those guys who have an opportunity to come from behind, because these are players who can go ahead and play a little bit more aggressively if it looks like the course is opening up. So for me, more than anything, I don't necessarily have a system to the degree that Kelly or Matt Brown or Wes or Brady or Matt Eumanns have, but I do have a number of years covering the sport. I was a golf writer for years back in the past decade, and have been to Augusta National, have been to some of the U.S. Open courses, and seen in person what they look like, and seen in person what these conditions can do to the players, and that kind of informs where I'm going. I haven't done a lot necessarily in tournament here because I found myself in such a bad spot with some of the chalkier players that I had taken earlier on that I decided not to chase a whole lot, because I have guys like Patrick Cantlay, and I did have a little bit of second round play on Brooks Koepka to the point where I said, okay, this isn't necessarily going my way, and I don't know that I want to chase too far down the hole with this for a tournament that hasn't played out my way.
Well, good for you. You've exercised some discipline. We need to have some off-air conversations so you can help bring me back to having a little discipline when I get out there. Because sometimes I'll be the first to admit, I have chased plenty of plays, not in golf, obviously, but in other sports. It happens. And so that's probably that's my biggest weakness when it comes to being able to bet sports and keep my mind right when it comes to not chasing last plays or former or even in-game plays, right? But so you talked about the fast greens and Bidlin and the models and those kind of things that led to some of the plays that Kelly Bidlin made here with Justin Rose and a few others. Now, with the weather the impending weather potentially that is supposed to come in later today in Augusta, how do you think that impacts the course? And would that potentially, whether you're going to do this or you're staying disciplined, but even if you had an option and you were looking for an opportunity to play based on weather conditions and impacting the course, what would that mean to you as a golf bettor?
So I think what I'd be looking at is, what kind of weather are we expecting here? Is this going to be a big downpour? Is this something that potentially is going to slow down the greens? So if you see that there's going to be a decent amount of rain and you see that these greens that have been fairly dried out and playing very, very fast are going to slow down a bit, then maybe you can look a little bit more at players who are not quite the same putters, guys who you look at and say, okay, I want a little bit more distance, right? I want someone who can hit the ball because I'm not going to get a lot of run on those fairways, right? I want someone who's going to be able to bomb out a little bit. And that's not necessarily to say go put all your money on Bryson DeChambeau, because Bryson DeChambeau has really been struggling with accuracy in this tournament. But I definitely would be more willing to go toward putters who are not as strong, and definitely be looking for more distance for guys who are going to carry it in the air, as opposed to looking for someone who does not have the distance and is going to have to try to play. Let's just say you're not someone great on driving distance. You're going to be playing a lot longer irons. You're going to have a lot more decisions to make, especially coming into the par fours. If you're having long shots where you're having to decide, okay, do I get aggressive? Do I take a real shot here? Or do I try to play a little bit safer, depending on where the pin location is on certain holes? I would point to Twitter, Trevor Immelman, who's on the golf broadcast for the Masters, who actually had a hole in one when I was there at Augusta in 2005, was pointing out which holes in particular he thought the hole locations were going to have some impact on the players today. I would find that on Twitter if I were looking for in-round plays here, and obviously him and other smart people who have discussed those hole locations as well. Elsewhere, okay, James, as we don't fret. Not only will we talk a little bit more golf, but we are going to have a little bit more golf talk with some of the experts later in the show, with the Long Shots crew joining us to talk about Masters as the leaders tee off and get the round going. But we do have some action on the diamond just getting started for those who want to take part. I can't offer you full contact baseball, but I can talk about the best pitcher in the game going for the New York Mets today. Jacob DeGrom is on the bump for the Mets. A big surprise. Jacob DeGrom with a perfect first and two strikeouts as the Mets are batting in the bottom of the first against the Miami Marlins. Marlins come into the game 1-6. They are 230 dogs to Jacob DeGrom here. And the biggest thing we see is an adjusted total down to 6.5, something you don't see in a baseball game particularly often. I heard some chatter going on behind the glass of taking a shot against Jacob DeGrom for the full game because the bullpen has not been too reliable for him here. How do you approach it when you have a big ace on the mound like DeGrom here for the Mets?
Well, I think the problem has been that just start of the season, like he's been there with the Mets, where they just don't give him any run support. Had a great outing to start the season in the season opener, did DeGrom, but then the bullpen came in and blew the lead for them, and that's, I think that's the 31st time in his starts with DeGrom as a Met where they have not, he's left with the lead and they haven't been able to hold it. So talk about full contact sports. It's not that way for the Mets when it's that way when he's pitching, for sure. He holds his opponents. Another shutout performance against Philly last week. And then looking at this here, the Marlins, this is just a team that's been struggling to put runs on the board all season long. And it's early in the season, so I don't want to take away too much just after, for some of these teams, 7-8 games over the first week. But, you know, for a Marlins team, they're hitting just 210 on the season. They've scored 21 runs through seven games. And keep in mind, well for those games. It was an offensive explosion against Tampa last weekend. So really struggling to put the bat on the ball. So not a good matchup having to go against DeGrom. But, yeah, I usually try to find big dogs like that because, you know, over time, yeah, the dogs are going to lose more times than they win. But that's why you're getting almost, in this case, getting such a big price point payback for your money. But DeGrom is just the pitcher where, yeah, I can understand for the full nine innings, you might want to go that route. I would be more so inclined to play it in game just because we know as far as DeGrom goes, if the Mets bats do happen to wake up and give him some run support in this game, they give him three or four runs. And right now they've got runners at the corners with nobody out to start the bottom of the first inning. If they get some run support for him, you know, DeGrom can go a filthy six or seven innings. Or maybe we should start pitching these guys a little bit longer. We saw that with Lance Lynn. Somebody actually pitched a full nine innings and had a complete game shutout. I'm surprised we forgot that that actually can exist in this modern day and age of baseball in 2021.
Lance Lynn has certainly been one of those guys who's been a horse and able to go longer into games. You mentioned that Mets situation. They do have two on for Michael Conforto here in the first inning, and so great opportunity to put some runs on the board for Jacob DeGrom. Other game that just got underway, the Yankees are at the Rays. Tampa is a house of horrors for the New York Yankees over the last few years. They are actually minus 135 favorites with Domingo Herman on the mound here today going against another Yankee killer, Chris Archer, total of 9.5. James, about 30 seconds left here in this segment. Any action here on this one?
Yeah, real quick, I do. I have the Rays team total over 4.5 at plus 105. Herman, you know, missed last season due to suspension for domestic violence. This guy can't locate. He gets up in the zone. Tampa has enough hitters and discipline at the plate to make him pay for that when he does get the ball up, work the count, get ahead of the count, drive the ball. It's not a hitter's park, but I think they'll drive the baseball today. Over 4.5 runs, plus 105 for the Tampa Bay Rays.
The Mets go full Mets. Francisco Lindor tries to steal second. He's gunned down. Now there's a man at third with one out. More coming on Betting Across America here shortly. Basketball and hockey games every week, and with the early baseball season, it's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back in to Betting Across America from here at the South Point in Las Vegas. I'm Adam Candy. James Salinas joins me from Denver, updating what can only be a Mets situation, letting you know that somehow they took first and third with nobody out and turned it into a grand total of zero runs as Jacob DeGrom, I can only assume, sighs heavily and goes back out for the second inning in a game with no score. Tampa Bay, the team total that you had, James, you are on the right path here as Austin Meadows takes Domingo Herman deep, and it is 1-0 Tampa Bay in the bottom of the first inning with one out there. More baseball getting started here shortly, but let's get over to the NBA for a moment. Decent card going here tonight. A game that I'm sure looked a lot better when the schedule makers put it together than it does right now, with the Los Angeles Lakers taking on the Brooklyn Nets. A total here of 222, 10.5 in favor of the Nets. We know Kevin Durant in on the other side of the coin. James Harden is out for a bit for the Nets, and for the Lakers, it still continues to be the zombie Lakers. No LeBron and no AD.
Yeah, and obviously for the Lakers, it's still fighting through not having their two all-stars there, and especially on the offensive side. That's where they've really struggled. They've only averaged 100, basically 100 points since LeBron has been out, and they've tried to make some moves. Now they've got Drummond into the mix, maybe to give them some post presence to be able to score something closer to the basket, because they're not shooting the ball very well from anywhere else out on the floor. It's just, when you look at Brooklyn, now that KD is back and actually played pretty well, blowout over New Orleans the other day, but only played 19 minutes and filled up the stat sheet like he's capable of doing. He had 17, 7, and 5 in just 19 minutes played coming off the bench in his first game back for the Nets. He was out for 2 months. So how many minutes is he going to play? How hard are the Nets taking this game? That's a big number here. I feel like, if anything, the Lakers, they have been playing. They are a decent defensive team. Offensively, that's where the struggle is, sitting here at the total, Adam, at 222.5. It's just so hard to know with the Nets. Do they decide to give any effort on the defensive side? We know now with KD back, and at least with Kyrie out there, he's going to be looking to score the basketball, and actually facilitated very well with Harden being out of the lineup and taking more of that role to get teammates involved. Just trying to still figure out, what is this going to look like for the Nets right now, short term, working KD back in and not having Harden there, who was really their point forward in a sense, running the offense. Now it's switched to Kyrie. I'm not really sure what to expect from the Nets from night to night, as far as where the points going to come from. Looking, trying to get into trying to find any type of player props. It's so hard to gauge right now when you have players that have been out for a while, reacclimating into the lineup, especially when it's not a full lineup. So I don't have a play on this game. I don't really know where to go with it. I think we'll see a good effort out of the Lakers, but how do they sustain that for 48 minutes, especially trying to put the ball in the basket? Can they cover a big number like that sitting right now at 10.5? Any action for you on this game, Adam?
It will depend on the injury report. If you like the Nets, I would say get the Nets now, because you're looking at Alex Caruso, Marc Gasol, and Kyle Kuzma, all listed as questionable for the Lakers. If any combination of a couple of those guys are out, this is going to go up. People are not going to be inclined, I don't think, to play the Lakers too heavily here at this number with that inability to score that we've mentioned. On the other side of the equation, as we mentioned, James Harden out, Tyler Johnson as well. Now, we'll give you a quick look at Cleveland and the Raptors, because I know there are only so many of you out there who would enjoy the pain of watching Cleveland and the Raptors play. Raptors -3.5. Kyle Lowry is out for the Raptors today. Total of 219.5, by the way. No Fred VanVleet. Come on. I mean, Jared Allen out on the other side for Cleveland. Look, if you want to go ahead and play something on this, maybe take a look at the total and see if you want to get involved there. But I would not trust the side here either way between Cleveland and Toronto. That is your Cleveland-Toronto section. More NBA when we come back, as well as baseball and an update on what's going on in the Masters. It's Betting Across America from here on VSiN. Sports betting action this spring doesn't get much better than this weekend. Our VSiN experts are covering the Masters, early season baseball trends, NHL and NBA playoff races, and every game on the schedule to give you the betting edge. We give you all the tools to cash more tickets, including our 24/7 video coverage, complete data and analysis on VSiN.com, our daily members-only best bets, and in-depth coverage of every sport and point spread weekly. The weather and the betting action is warming up this spring, and now is the time to sign up for your VSiN 10-day free trial. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. And if you're joining us via VSiN.com, we appreciate your loyal viewership or listenership, whatever it might be. I'm Adam Candy in Las Vegas. James Salinas joins me from Denver for Betting Across America, as we take a look at not only the games coming up, but your in-game betting opportunities, some of the different lines available depending on what part of the country you're in, as more than half of U.S. states now have some form of legal sports betting. James, those on the East Coast might wish they did not have legal sports betting because they might feel like, why do I keep betting on Jacob DeGrom and having these things happen to me? Because I think you could have gotten pretty good odds on will Jazz Chisholm homer off Jacob DeGrom. It is 1-0 Marlins over the Mets. James, what I find interesting is that live total is still sitting at 6.5 for one book on the East Coast. You know, part of the formula in any Jacob DeGrom game is figuring out how many teams, how many runs will the other team get off him. Even one feels big when we're looking at a 6.5 live total.
Yeah, it does. Well, and he challenged Jazz upstairs, and Jazz was able to get around on it, turn on it, and took it out of the park. And yeah, I just think that's just been the struggle, and I think probably the reason that total is still there is just one bad pitch. And it actually wasn't a bad pitch; it was up in the zone. He was just able to catch up to it and yank it to upper deck. It was the harder it goes out, right? But I just know that the Marlins, it's just been a struggle to score all season long, and especially with Rodgers. Rodgers has posted a pretty good ERA, two earned run ERA against, I think, two starts with the Mets. So he's pitched very well against the Mets, too. Another swing and miss for the Mets going down. So I think here with the pitching matchup for one, but also the Marlins and their inability to score so far this season, it's just been a struggle for them all, you know, early in the season this year at the plate. I can see why that total is still stuck at 6.5.
Yankees and Rays still 1-0 as looks like a base hit for Gary Sanchez, and the Yankees have a man on with two down there in Tampa after losing yesterday 10-5. Rest of the NBA slate here, James, there are five home favorites in seven games today, and some of the teams that are the dogs are big dogs. This could be a money line parlay kind of day if that's the way you like to play things, because you are looking at some opportunities here with the Suns hosting the Wizards, the Trailblazers hosting the Pistons. Let's start here with another one of those tanky feeling teams in the Oklahoma City Thunder as they host the Philadelphia 76ers. Sixers are 11-point favorites on the road on the back of a back-to-back, 217.5. This is interesting to me, James, because we saw the Sixers go and lay an egg last night in New Orleans with Brandon Ingram back in the lineup for the Pelicans. And now the second half of the back-to-back, we don't know for sure. We assume Joel Embiid will be in there and getting some sort of load for the Philadelphia 76ers. But their injury report is not in yet. I guess on the other side, part of what you have to factor in is there's nobody left on the Oklahoma City roster. Obviously SGA is out, Lou Dort remains out for them, so I know you are not someone who likes to play favorites this large, especially on the road, but how would you handicap this game?
I think this is open run. It's open gym. It's basically you're looking around, you're walking into the gymnasium and you're pointing to see, all right, who's got next? You want to run? I need two more. First names on the chalkboard, give me five guys and we're going to go out and run, because I think that's how this game is going to be played. I mean, the Sixers, this is what happens. We've seen this. We see this all the time in the NBA. If you don't bring, you don't have to bring your best game, but you have to bring some kind of game, because if you don't, teams are going to be jazzed and charged to play against you. And we saw that out of the Pelicans playing the Sixers last night. Obviously, the Sixers gave no effort defensively, offensively. They were not into that game whatsoever, and it cost them. And then maybe they were looking ahead to open run night down there in Oklahoma City tonight, feeling like we can get our groove on going and playing some open ball and looking ahead to the Thunder, right? Because the Thunder, I mean, here's the thing with the Thunder. It's like you said, obviously the injuries have been part of it. They've also had some coaches that sit down, like they sat Al Horford, saying, look, we need to get some young guys some minutes and see what we're doing. It's open tryouts right now for the Thunder looking at next season coming up. So, you know, I think if anything, it might be, it comes down to, yeah, does Embiid play or not? I think we saw when Embiid was not in there, we saw obviously a better effort out of the Sixers during those few weeks when Embiid was out, especially on the defensive side. And just knowing that with looking at the Thunder here, you don't know who's going to be picked for open run tonight for them. I may be looking at the under, figuring the Sixers have to give more in an inspired effort. So I'd be looking more so at that total, but potentially looking at the team total and yep, betting the under team total with the Thunder, yep, which I'm trying to track down right now. And it looks
implied
like
implied would be about 98.
Yeah, and actually, and it's juice. So if you're looking at BetMGM, you can find so many different levels here. And right now, I do see a 104.5 juice to 135 under. You could probably find a better number than that, not have to lay that juice. But holding OKC under roughly, say, just 100 and 100, and somewhere between 100 and 103 points to get a standard bet in, that's probably the play. If I was going to play this game, that'd probably be the play I'd make.
That is probably something I will end up doing by the end of this. Over the last 10 games, the Oklahoma City Thunder have the worst offensive rating in the NBA, 100 points per 100 possessions. And we know how good the Sixers are defensively. I don't even know if it matters what sort of minutes Doc Rivers decides to go with for his big guys in a game like this. If you're going to give me triple digits on this Sixers team to hold Oklahoma City to, that probably is the way into this particular ball game. Kings visiting the Jazz. This is another one of these big favorite situations. Jazz are laying 12.5 at home against Sacramento. 230.5 is the total in this one. The overnight injury report, Marvin Bagley out still for the Kings. And on the other side, Jordan Clarkson, the likely sixth man of the year in the NBA, remains doubtful for the Jazz.
Well, and here's the thing with the Jazz. I think this is where, for Coach Snyder, he's going to have to work on keeping, how do I inspire my team over these next few weeks? Because if you look at the Jazz schedule coming up, really soft schedule. The next 10 games, only two games playing against teams, opponents over 500. Both of those games are going to be against the Lakers, where we know LeBron and AD are out. Kings have just been brutal. They've lost five straight, but this speaks to where the NBA is right now. They're five straight. They're eight games under 500 are the Kings, but only sit two games out of the final playoff spot. Who knows? No play for me.
Might just save Luke Walton after all. Betting Across America rolls on here from Las Vegas. Baseball players might not get style points for home runs, but baseball bettors do. New BetMGM customers can turn $1 into $100 when someone goes yard during a game. Sign up for the BetMGM app using VSiN100 promo code. And if you place a $1 moneyline wager on the Nationals or Dodgers, you'll get $100 if either team hits a home run. New customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia only. Excludes Michigan dissociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-9WITH-IT in Indiana. In Tennessee, call or text the red line. 800-889-9789. Promotional offer is not available in Nevada. The Masters rolls on here on Moving Day. It is Betting Across America on VSiN, the sports betting network. I'm Adam Candy at the South Point Sportsbook in Las Vegas. James Salinas joins us from suddenly sunny Denver, Colorado, as we get a look at what's happening here in Augusta, Georgia, where the weather has held up thus far, but there is a little bit of rain coming in the forecast. And if you're someone who takes information from what you see on the course early in the day, I would get a look at the fact that some of the chasers, guys who are 6-7 shots off, are actually starting out fairly well. We see Colin Morikawa with a birdie, Stuart Sink with a birdie. Matt Jones has already gained two strokes to go to three. Corey Connors, watch out if Corey Connors gets going here. He's already to three back. And Corey Connors is at 4-under here at the moment. Canadian, who has been a betting favorite of some of our folks here at VSiN. If you believe that this scoring will continue, it could be a very interesting day at the Masters, where Justin Rose holds a one-shot lead over Will Zalatoris and Harmon, and a two-shot lead over Jordan Spieth and Mark Leishman here at the moment. James, as we power on through the rest of this NBA card, three other games to discuss: the Rockets and the Warriors, the Wizards and the Suns, the Pistons and the Trailblazers. All three of these games are big spreads. Warriors at 9 is the smallest of them. Blazers 11.5, Suns 12. Totals all sitting pretty similarly with about 226, 227, 228. Of those three games with these big spreads, which would be the one that you would be most interested in taking part in?
Well, I see some of these teams here. We talked about Open Run at Oklahoma City and some of these other. Here's a few other teams that are playing this way, too. I mean, we look at the Pistons, for instance, going into Portland. Now, Portland, we know how they play. That number's ticking up, too. I was looking at the total here. It was 225.5. Now it's up to 226.5, and I totally understand the move here. I think with the Pistons, they've actually been, you know, one of the worst records in the league. They've actually been alternating wins and losses lately, though. That's what's been kind of interesting. However, they're all in or they're all out, depending on the matchup, because they've won 4 out of the last 7 games, alternating those wins. In those wins, they've won by an average of 20 points. In those losses, they've lost by an average of 27 points. So, which tells me not a lot of defense going on in any of those contests, whether they show up or not. On the defensive side, I think it's more so here for Portland, coming off back-to-back losses and tough losses, right, when you're playing the Clippers and you're playing Utah, and they got run pretty good by both of those teams. I think here we know how Portland, they definitely have the ability to score on any kind of team that they're playing. Here with the Pistons, I don't know what the Pistons have left to play for, and if things hold up the way that they've been, alternating wins and losses, this could be the game they get run. Both these teams have had a day to rest, so I think it's going to be fresh legs getting out there. Open gym ball tonight. I play the over with the Blazers and Pistons, even at 226.5.
And keep in mind, if you're thinking about the Pistons at all, no Jeremy Grant for the Pistons, which makes it even less likely that Detroit's going to be able to give Portland a run this game. We know how good the Blazers offense has been since CJ McCollum got back. Keep an eye on the injury report to make sure Yusuf Nurkic is going to be in as well. But if you get a full compliment from Portland, you might also be looking at a Portland team total as well. For, as you mentioned, a Pistons team that does not have a whole lot left to play for. Rockets and Wizards as well, interestingly. 228 the total on the Wizards and Suns. You might give a look at the over in that one, depending on who's healthy as well. You'll want to check the injury report, as neither of those teams has anything in as yet. James, let's get back over to the baseball diamond, as we have some games that are going to get started here in the next hour or so. Rain out in Chicago, no Royals White Sox game here today, but elsewhere in the division, the Minnesota Twins are hosting the Seattle Mariners. It's Yusei Kikuchi, and I say Kikuchi as well, against Michael Pineda. The Twins are -170, coming back +155 on the Mariners, total of 8, and that one is juiced to the over.
Yeah, I was trying to find, and I was looking for, you know, that's a big number. This number is continuing to climb in favor of the Twins here. It's 190 is a big price.
Oh, wow. That's
here.
Gone up.
It's continuing to go up. I'm just not a fan of Pineda. It's just this. We've seen it already. We've seen the issues with him in the past. His ability to locate, it's just with these guys that are just all over the place, I just don't have any faith, especially when you're looking at a big line like that of almost $2 here with a pitcher that I just don't trust whether he's going to have any good stuff or not. Being able to locate and being able to pitch, he just feels like a thrower to me. And I think with Kikuchi coming in, you know, he does have the ability to strike players out. And we know that the Twins, it's the Bomba Squad, or at least it was, where it's all or nothing. We're swinging for the fences here, and you tend to strike out. I was trying to find, Adam, actually the player prop going on Kikuchi for strikeouts. I'm struggling to pull that up right now. Right now I see it at 5.5 strikeouts +120. I think I would play the over as far as this, the player prop goes, because I think here with the Twins, it's all or nothing. They're already at the top of the leaderboard. They have 84 strikeouts in just 7 games played this year, and they're not up there to take walks. They've only had 28 walks. So we know what they're going to do. They're going up to swing the bat, and Kikuchi has the ability to miss bats. He also has the ability to give up home runs too when he's not able to to keep the ball down. But I think we'll see a lot of swinging today from that Twins team. And I don't want to back the Mariners here taking that nice price. I do tend to look more for dogs in these types of situations. That is a pretty juicy price here on the get back for the Mariners. But I think more so I like that strikeout prop for Kikuchi here with the M's.
It is a lot of right-handed power in that Minnesota lineup against the lefty Kikuchi, who did strike out 10 in his first this year. So I don't think he'll have any trouble getting the strikeouts if he stays in the game long enough. If he keeps the ball in the park, then I really like where you're going there with that one. Brewers and the Cardinals will also have first pitch at 2:15 Eastern time. That's Adrian Hauser against Carlos Martinez, who bounces back from the bullpen to the starting rotation this year for the Cardinals. This one is pretty even right now. Cardinals -112. Brewers basically even money with a total of 8. That's juice to the under.
Yeah, and just this Brewers team, they're just wasting these great pitching efforts, right? We saw another one out of Corbin Burns the other night. Burns has had, one hit in his first two starts, and they give him no run support. That's just – I want to keep backing the Brewers. I like the Brewers. I like that pitching staff for sure. The rotation, the closing, you know, what we get out of the bullpen. I love the pitching staff, but right now this is a team that just can't hit the baseball. Another team that swings and misses a lot. 81 strikeouts to 17 walks so far this season. That doesn't lend to putting runs on the board. I'm not one to trust Carlos Martinez, and he'll have really good games, and then really he can't get out of the third inning sometimes. And I think here the wind, I was leaning towards the under here, just knowing that with the Brewers, they haven't been able to hit the baseball so far this season. But you know, I was looking at our weatherman report. Robert Allen Zimmerman be proud of us when we do our which way the wind's blowing, and right now that wind is blowing out to right center in St. Louis. Was 15 to 20 miles per hour. Now, what does that mean for a game like this? I'm not really sure, just based on the fact that, the Brewers, can they hit the baseball? Can they get it up over the plate and get it out of the park and take advantage of that wind? I think with the starter, with Hauser, he tends to pitch down in the strike zone quite a bit. So maybe he pitches more to contact, ground ball type of pitcher. So I don't know if the wind has an actual impact in this game. I was leaning towards the under here, but it's just so hard for me to back a team like the Brewers that I like going into the season, but right now not off to a good start with the bats.
Loved them myself as well. Continue to believe that things will normalize for a team that is hitting a major league low 172 at the moment. I don't believe we've ever seen a team hit 172 for the season, so hopefully that will turn around. But you mentioned those strikeout to walk numbers, and that is some danger Will Robinson stuff right there. If you have 5 more strikeouts to every walk that you have, those are the games getting going just here in the next half hour or so. Back on the golf course, Bryson DeChambeau, Mr. Congeniality himself, doubles on the par 3 fourth. He's now 2 over for the day, 1 over for the tournament. Corey Connors still sitting at 4. Hideki Matsuyama pars the first. He remains 3 back of Justin Rose and the rest of the leaders. Siwoo Kim does bogey his first hole, as does Champ, and both of them drop down to 3 under. That puts them 4 shots back. Here's a game that I was interested in, James, from the baseball side, the Rockies and the Giants. No, not because I believe this will be fantastic baseball, but I do think there's a little bit of an opportunity here. It is Chichi Gonzalez going against Logan Webb. The price on the Rockies +160, Giants -175, total 8.5, juice to the under. And it's that under that I thought was a bit interesting, in part because Logan Webb has been pretty darn good for the Giants. That's something I would keep an eye on here as the game gets closer. Again, see how the weather's going for that 4:05 Eastern start. But look, we know how difficult it is to hit the ball out of that ballpark in San Francisco. Logan Webb's been pitching well. I would keep an eye on the under in that ball game. The Masters, MLB, NHL, NBA, more initials when we come back here on Betting Across America from another one, VSIN. That's VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.